So as an Indian, I can feel that how and what starvation means to an Indian. So today I would like to share with you, as a pastor and also a director of lay training programs in India, how we are facing this situation and what would be better for the future India as such. So I am not a sociologist or some kind of a demonstrator for that kind of program, but how as an Indian Christian and also as a pastor, how I am viewing at that. So I will base my presentation on that. If you have any questions, you can interrupt me and ask me. If the time is not sufficient enough, I will be here until 11 o'clock. You can ask me private questions and I am willing to help you to answer to you. I would like to put Mahatma Gandhi's statement as a basic statement so that we can proceed further. He said, when we got independence by August 15th of 1947, in India we have food enough for all people, but the problem is distribution. That is very important. So in that respect, in India should not be starving. We have sufficient food. We have food enough and to spare, but the problem is distribution. So from that premises, let me proceed further. I am putting forth some 7 or 8 points under that. What are the reasons? That will be fascinating or enlightening us to study together or to help together. The primary reason is religious reason. When I say religious reason, those who have participated in my yesterday's presentation could very well understand that. According to Hinduism, to inherit moksha or inherit heaven, you have to do good. If you would like to do good, you may need somebody to receive. So the receiving mentality is being developed always. And so people, they would like to be always the passive recipients of charity. So in every city and in every village you can see beggars. They are only the passive recipients, not the active doers. So wherever and whenever they go to a certain religious Hindu homes, they will be awarded with some kind of alms. So they are more satisfied. So a group of people, they are running that as an occupation. See, beggary is an occupation. If you go to a bus stand, you can see lot of beggars. And the religious, pious Hindu men and women, they used to give some money. So that they think that the travel will be safe enough. They will reach their destination, no accident. See, that is their way of thinking. So religious reason is very important. If you say that we have to drive out all the lepers from this city, then immediately you have a strong objection, because we will be losing the charity, the objects of charity. So that is a kind of religious implication on the minds of the people. So also with Muslim, if you go to a Muslim mosque on Friday, you can see thousands of beggars standing at the entrance of the mosque. So all the rich Muslims, they will come out and they will offer something. See, their thinking is, by that action, they are fulfilling some religious obligations so that they can satisfy Allah, or to satisfy their psychological, emotional feelings. So they need somebody to receive. That is always there.
In Christianity also sometimes we are doing that. We are finding some kind of justification by doing certain things. We must also be very careful. So my thinking is, the religious reasons are having a great impact on the minds of the people, because we have 82% Hindus and 13-14% Muslims. So this kind of religious feeling has the highest impact on the minds of the people. And also, in another perspective you can look at, see, killing of rats. Sometimes you can see some kind of articles in Time magazine or in something. The rice bags or wheat bags are there, piled together, and rats are eating. They are making a great big photograph out of that and showing, oh, there in India they are not killing rats. Why? Once again, that is also a religious reason. That is not so easy to eradicate. That's why I am emphasizing that. That is karma. If you kill the rat, you will be the rat next birth. If you kill a snake, you will born like a snake. That's the karma doctrine. The present action will determine the future birth. So they have a cycle of births. If you are not supporting the beggar, then next birth you will be the beggar. If you are not helping the leper, you will have leprosy in the next birth. So no one, humanly speaking, no one will like that. So they wanted to support that. That is why the passive recipients, the so-called beggars, they are plenty in number. Though the government is taking initiative and actions on that, they are still because of the religiosity or the religious feelings. Number two, economical reasons. In India, we have 80% poor people. 15% average middle class. 5%, they are not rich, they are ultra rich. So what is the problem? That 5% is actually living on the another 95% of people. Or let me put this way, at least 20% of the people, they are living on the other 80% of the people. So they are the laboring class and they are suppressing them. So exploitation. So they are eating very well. The food materials are there. So they are eaten by that 20% of the people, or the food grains are overstocked by that 20% of the people. Now comes national emergency. National Emergency Act says that if you store up more than 5 bags of food grain, all the rest will be confiscated by the government. So Indira Gandhi is being supported by 80% of the population. Only by the 20% of the population she is not welcome. So that you have to understand that also. Because they want press, they want everything. 20% they are coming up high, and 80% they are praising Indira Gandhi because of this kind of national emergency program. Though it has some other political reasons, I can point out this from economical point of view. And also we have unemployment problem, because all the industries, all the agencies are being controlled by the 20% of the population, and 80% of the population, they could not find anywhere to fit into the situation. So unemployment problem is also there. So then what comes? That 20% of the people, they are not at all employed. They would like to boss over the people. So they would like to come to the office for half an hour, and they are returning. They are earning thousands of rupees for that, simply to put signatures. So dignity of labor is another problem. Three, sociological problems. When Hinduism, I mean Vedic Hinduism, when it was brought 4000 years back from Central Asia by Aryans or Mongolians, they brought the Vedic religion into India. And they started all kinds of caste system just to protect themselves for egocentric reasons. they were the priestly class and they wanted to preserve themselves, they wanted to top, to have the upper hand on others. So they have driven all the originals of India into the south under the mountain ranges, and they wanted to classify them as Brahmins. So they were the top ranking community. Four important castes are there. One is Brahmin, they are priestly caste. Then Kshatriya, they are the kings and warrior class. Then comes Vaisya, they are the agriculturists and farmers and merchants. Then comes fourth class, they are called Sutras. Sutra means untouchable. Christians are classified under that. Sutra community. We are untouchables. We are the downtrodden of this society. Though you are born in a higher caste, and if you are converted to Christianity, that means you are a Sutra. So in that respect, all the Western people, Christians are also considered by the Brahmins as Sutras, untouchables. So that is another problem. So wherever you go, you are a Sutra. So you have to depend on others always. For example, in certain villages, if you go, you cannot wear your shoes or sandals. You have to place that right at the entrance of the village, then you have to walk barefoot. You should not hold your umbrella because of the caste predominance. So that is another kind of problem. So here also comes, he has to always depend on others. The fourth class, he has to always depend on others. That 80% of the poorer class comes under Sutra community. For administrative reasons. See, poor distribution. When this kind of caste or sociological system is predominant, then comes all kinds of irregularities of distribution. When food grains are stored, they won't release when it gets high in the market. So what is happening, the poor fellow, he is earning only 2 rupees, he has to purchase per measure of rice at a rate of 4 rupees, then he cannot, then he has to starve. So here comes another problem. So Indira Gandhi, she decided only national emergency will help the situation. If not, communism will creep into India. So one day or other, India will turn into a communist country. So she felt national emergency is the only solution, immediate solution for this kind of problem. 5. Natural. The poor farmers, they are working hard in the rice fields, but they need water. We don't have any snow or ice on the top of the mountains just to reserve water there. When I mean rain, it is outpouring of rain. If it is too much, then it is flooded. If it is not raining, that drought. In some of the states, we didn't have rain for last 7 years. I know in the southern part, many Lutheran congregations, I mean the villages, Lutheran villages, they are suffering from want of drinking water. They are issuing ration cards. You can get 1 bucket of water per day. You have to show that card and get water. There is only one well having water. So that's the problem. So they are struggling hard, but natural failures. If the rain fails, everything fails. So I put that natural. I am not blaming God here, but these are the natural reasons. Educational reasons. Illiteracy is also one of the reasons. Once again, roughly 75% of the population, they are illiterates. So you cannot inform them, they are not well informed, they are following the good old pattern of doing things. Many, they don't have any kind of new modern appliances to do farming or something, and that is the problem. And also, women are not educated. I mean here, in the 95% of the population, Hindus and Muslims. In Christian churches, almost we have 85% of literacy. But in the villages and among non-Christian religions, you can see till today, we have at least 75% of illiteracy. and also suppression of women. What happens? They are not well informed. They have to keep themselves inside the house and they don't know what is going on, what is happening in the world. So they are also following the good old pattern in a blind way. So no possibility for thinking. They have to simply accept. They have to receive something, that's all. No thinking is there. 7. Sentimentality. If you belong to a Brahmin community, you are a vegetarian. Why? No one knows. Because my grandfather was a vegetarian, my father was a vegetarian, so I am a vegetarian. So also Christians we are. Why you are going to church? Because my father, he is going to church and my grandpa is going to church, so I am going to church. We are also telling the same truth. So some kind of sentimental feeling is also there. When you ask a Brahmin friend, if he is really a friend to you, then he will tell, I don't know. And are you interested really to eat something, meat dishes? Why not? He is fond of that. If you are a real close friend, if you invite him very secretly, he will join with you in a non-vegetarian dinner. So business people, they are doing that. Muslims, they are running a restaurant which is closed in the upstairs. And if you enter into that, the rooms are closed and everything. And you can see Brahmins there. They are having non-vegetarian dishes there. So some kind of sentimentality. So also among Christians, we are also doing the same. If you become a Christian, then you must eat meat. This is another way of doing things. Christianity means eating meat. So that we are criticized being that vegetarians. That is another problem. So we are reversing the whole scene. So my point is sentimentality. Because, see, my grandpa, he didn't eat wheat. My father didn't eat wheat. So I should not eat wheat. See, that's the way how things are happening. So for example, in South India, see the map is here, far away, but this is India, this is South India. See, here most of the people, we are rice eaters. In North India, the people are wheat eaters. So what is happening? If something, drought happens here in the South India, then immediately central government, federal government, they are importing wheat to South India. And agitation, we won't eat wheat, we need rice. Why not import rice from Burma or Thailand? So that is not the national policy. So all kinds of problems. So also if drought comes to North India, if rice is imported from South to North, they will tell, no rice. We need wheat from Russia or from America. See? That is not the national policy. That is the answer given by Indira Gandhi. That's the problem. So some kind of sentimentality, we won't eat that. So reasons are varied according to my perspective. This is a kind of sentimentality which is predominant among all people. And formation of lingual state. In India we have 22 lingual states and 14 officially recognized languages. In each state we have some kind of peculiarities, language, dress, food customs and manner of life and marriage systems, everything is totally different. So some kind of interrelationship is lacking there. If one state is suffering from want of food or food grains, the another state immediately, because they have some kind of lingual prejudice, so it is not mutually helping each other. So if you have drought in your state, you have to suffer. For example, here we have a state. This is like the Holden village, the whole state. This is like Washington. And we have mountains here, huge mountains. And what is happening during the monsoon, because of southwest monsoon, all the rain, the catchment area is this state. They are getting about 80 inches of rain within 3 months. And what is happening? The nature is such,
immediately the water flows into the ocean like small rivers. So the federal government is recommending to put reservoirs in these huge mountains about 10 to 12,000 feet height. So you have to make reservoirs so that you could feed all the eastern states here. Mainly this area is getting 10 to 20 inches of rain, whereas this state gets 60 to 80. But that state is not accepting that. You shouldn't, you shouldn't destroy the environmental setting. See, we would like to see the nature, rivers and waterfalls, everything. Let them suffer. See? So what the government is doing to tunneling the mountain here, tunneling the mountain towards the east, putting reservoir, turning all the rainfall or the river water into the eastern states. That's the problem. So also in the north we have Himalayas, and we have lot of glaciers there. During summer all the water is flowing here through Ganges and Indus, the big rivers, and Brahmaputra, three rivers. And they proposed to channel Ganges up to the south, Cape Comorin. And it was also in the world, UNO, United Nations. So, to join, so that no area could be left idle. So, all the land must be cultivated. So, that is also political reasons for that. No one is yielding to that. Why should fascinating river should be tunneled and it should be flown into the south and this and that. All sentimental feelings, all political reasons and this and that. So these are my observations. When you say starvation, it is not simply because of one reason. It has many reasons. So we have to work with it. That's the problem. Here, I would like to illustrate one illustration for the good of everyone. See, one day one small boy, he was going outside. He saw one fascinating scene. A pool, when it was dried during summer, in India we used to put all kinds of cucumbers along the, or pumpkin or something, along the pool side, so that when the water is getting dry, because of the moisture inside, it will grow like that. And also the fertilizer, we don't need any fertilizer because of the settlements there, it will pick up and it will grow like anything. So he saw a lot of cucumbers, so he wanted to pick some cucumber to eat. So early morning he went out, just he wanted to steal something, it doesn't belong to him. But when he went there, he saw a glittering cucumber there because of sunshine. So it was fascinating to him, why that particular cucumber is very glittering one. So he wanted to go near and he saw a cucumber inside a bottle. That's the best illustration, you can also understand that. It was a small bottle. When it was too young, the cucumber, the flower, it went inside, so it was turned into a cucumber like this. And it was grown. And it is really inside the bottle. Because of the sunlight, it was so glittering. So this fellow, he wanted to go and he took the cucumber. He wanted to eat. Now the problem is, he cannot get the cucumber outside of the bottle. The problem is like that. We would like to eradicate the starvation. The starvation is like this. It is inside the bottle. If you want to eradicate that, you have to break the bottle. So also we have so many reasons. So if you would like to eradicate starvation or anything, it is in a structure. The structure must be break off, then only you can enter into or you can taste that. So also Christians are also, we are in the structural setting of the church. We would like to make changes. We cannot make it because we are in the structure. This is the institutional church. We would like to do something. Oh, committee says that. That's the problem. See, here also, if you would like to taste the cucumber, you have to break off.
So if at all you would like to help starvation, you have to find the reasons and break it off. So you have only a few reasons here. Only a few reasons. The experts, they may know very well than me. But as a pastor, I could see all these reasons are there. So now we have to break the bottle. So what the church is doing? That is my point now. We are not advocating to give any direct help, such as food. If a fellow comes to your door, we are not recommending to give food directly. For example, if a person comes to my house and he is standing at the door and begging for something on Friday, that is very usual in India, on Friday, I used to see him first. If he is blind or if he is handicapped, okay, then we have to help. But if he is having enough strength to work or something, I used to talk to him. Why? Why you are begging? Because he is feeling better on begging without doing any job, he is feeling himself very well. Then I used to tell him, we have some job. Are you willing to work? If he says no, go. What is happening? He is cursing. You will born as a beggar. Then we have to say, no, we are not believing in rebirth. We don't like that kind of reincarnation. See, that is the way how they are frightening the people. So ladies, they are rather frightened. If he sees a pregnant woman, your child will be like me, beggar. So she is afraid of, so secretly she is also giving some kind of harm. That's the problem there. So all kinds of these reasons are in the minds of the, down deep into the minds of the people. So that's the problem. So we are helping the people to help themselves. Here comes self-help projects. In a congregation, if I am going to a village congregation, and if someone says that so and so's family is suffering or starving from want of food and something, we used to sit together in the church building or in the common building there. Then all the people, all the congregation members will be there. Then someone will say that he is suffering a lot. Okay, who else is suffering? So we used to get a list of names. Okay. Then what are the reasons for that? They have to tell. Pastor is not advocating anything there. They have to tell. See, he can serve very well, but he is not getting any employment. Why? He is not educated. So you can pinpoint so many reasons for that. Then we all sit together and study together how to help himself. So that is the point. For example, how we are. Say if one person, he is too lazy, then all the people will say he is too lazy. He used to eat and sleep, that's all. Then we cannot help. What about his wife? Oh, she is very brilliant, she is very active, but she can only rear a cow or a goat or something. Okay, how we have to proceed further? Who else can help him? So these are some of the observations we are facing together. And after that, if that housewife is willing to rear a cow, then we are recommending to get a cow from the government. How? Once again, we are also approaching the block development officer. Government is also issuing that. So we are approaching the government to get a hybrid cow. The point is, when the church is giving to that particular family in the presence of others, it is not isolated. In the presence of others, we are asking him that this cow belongs to you. But the first yield belongs to the church. First yield. The very first yield he should bring forth to the church. So, we are pinpointing who deserves second. The calf goes to him. When it is presented to the church, we are not taking. Immediately it is given to the second person. He has to take care of. So it is ongoing self-help project. It is ongoing. For example, if we are supplying a goat, it is very interesting. When the
when he has children, they are grown up and they are illiterate, they can only grass the goats along the mountainside and so on. So what we are recommending, we are having a hybrid of goat which gives yield 2 kids or 3 kids every 6 months. So what we are doing, we are getting the long list. So when he brings the first yield, that means 2 or 3 kids, immediately 3 families are supplied with that. So it is ongoing project. It is not stagnant, it is ongoing. That kind of projects I put here, helping to help themselves. Another type, we are also giving 10 birds, chicken, poultry, 10 birds. They must bring the first egg, that's all. And we are collecting all the eggs, we are putting that into incubator and we are producing birds, then we are redistribution. The church is not keeping that. Without any cost, we are also helping them. This cost about 500 to 1000 rupees, one cow. So what we are doing, last year I had a lay training program. So I invited all the office bearers of the women's society and I recommended, some 70 office bearers were there. I recommended 2 projects for them. One, you have to create a kitchen garden in your backyard, because women, you are in charge of kitchen. You should not waste drainage water, because water scarcity is there. You have to pour that drainage water to a banana tree. In turn, it will bring forth a bunch of bananas. No labor is needed. You have to plant a banana tree. It will come. No fencing is necessary, no fertilizer is needed. It will bring forth. Within 10 months, you can see a bunch of bananas there. So, you have to plant 10 bananas in your kitchen garden, which will increase your family economy as well as the church economy. You have to bring only one bunch to the church. That's all, out of 10. And also, in your house, you have to accommodate 10 Hindu children in Sunday school program in the afternoon of Sunday. So, I call that Hindu Sunday school. You have to solicit 10 Hindu children, small children, along with your children, teach them. Teach your children so that other children may also benefit it. So 10 Hindu children, I call that Hindu Sunday school and a kitchen garden. So 2 projects without any expenditure. This is also comes under self-help project. Second, because time is going too fast, I have to explain too fast. Mass education. When you are doing something, education is needed very much. When you are talking to the congregation, I don't know your situation here, but I know my congregations very well. If a pastor opens the mouth, then immediately it is being controlled by the elders council or deacons meeting. So one is the church council. The congregation is not well informed. That is my observation. So what I did, as soon after the sermon is over, I used to stand in front of the whole congregation and I am alerting all the communicant members of the... It is the primary responsibility of each and every communicant member. Not only the office bearer, not only the pastor. The whole congregation is responsible. So I am confronting all the communicant members to take the issue. This is very serious. Because when you talk to the elders, what is happening in Indian situation, men are the members of the elders council. So what is happening? They are not revealing the fact to the house. Actually, women and children, they are starving there. If you have so much of food, according to Indian sociological system, the men must be provided with food first. Then children. Then comes, if there are some waste, the women can eat. That's very tragic thing. So, I am reversing the whole scene. Everything should be well known to all the members of the family, in the church also, to all the communicant members. So mass education program. So, soon after service is over, 5 to 10 minutes, you have to take and explain things. So, that will be alerted. So, when the father re-enters into the house, the child may ask, "Oh, pastor told like this, you are telling us something different." See, that is not creating struggle inside the family, but we have to keep well informed the people also. For example, when you are educating, I used to conduct
I used to preach a sermon on how to prepare a budget, family budget, stewardship. I am not basing my sermon on any text. This is a free lecture. How to prepare a family budget. The women, they don't know that. The children, they are not aware of that. What is going on? Only the father is controlling everything. So what is happening when you are alerting? You can see that within 1 or 2 years, your congregational budget will reach up to that level. There is no need to inform the people to bring offering to the church. I never preached in my parish ministry. I never preached a sermon on bringing offering for 17 years. When I was a pastor in one particular congregation, I had a budget about 1,000 rupees. Within 5 years, I got 10,000 rupees without any preaching on offering in courts. But I helped the congregation to create kitchen garden, house Sunday school, then how to prepare a budget. Then comes, see, we need only so much. Why this fellow is earning 400 rupees and what happens? What is the drainage there? See, some kind of financial drainage they could pinpoint, and a child, a son or a daughter may be advising to the father. So it is a family responsibility. It is not the responsibility of the pastor. But pastor could enlighten the vision so that they could help themselves. So that's my point. So I had a very good time on that. During Lenten season, for example, during Lenten season, our women, they used to put flowers always on their head. During Lenten season, if you have a death in your family, your women are not entitled to place flowers for 40 days. So also it happens, Ash Wednesday till Easter, it is 40 days, we are also remembering the death of Christ. So it is a coincidence in the sociological pattern of India. So what we are recommending, okay, you are stopping putting flowers on your head. And also they are stop eating meat. See, when you have a death occurrence in your family, you should not eat meat. That is also another Indian custom. So they are stopping right at Ash Wednesday. Till so we are giving self-denial banks, small mud undies. And they are always negative. We won't do that. We won't do that. So I challenge the people, what you will do? I am not very particular about not doing, but what you will do. That is very important. Be positive. Don't be negative always. What you will do? So here is an offering. So I demonstrated, okay. For example, you are not willing to put flowers on your head. Okay, how much it costs? So they will say normally 10 paisa, which means 1 cent in your money. Or 10 paisa. You have a daughter, that means 20 paisa per day. 40 into 20, that means 8 rupees. Are you willing to place 8 rupees for the mission expansion or mission extension project? There comes the crucial issue. See, I won't say any lie. That is very good. But will you speak truth? That is another problem. So always be positive. So when I was doing some mass education program, I contacted from Sunday school to the total congregation. Then only you can see some kind of transformation in the minds of the people. If you are pinpointing some certain group, for example, mission budget, we have a mission committee. They won't reveal any truth at all. They will keep themselves, they are very particular about their status quo. Because I am the chairman financial committee. Okay, that's very fine. But you will not enter into heaven. That is my faith. If you are not positively doing anything, no good. People are very particular about negation in India, but positive doing is very important. So that was my point yesterday also in my Bible study. So mass communication, then demonstration. We have to demonstrate certain things. When I told my congregation members and women's society office bearers, first I created my kitchen garden. That's very important. When I say something, and if I am not doing that, then there is no use. I have to demonstrate. So I wanted to create a kitchen garden in my backyard.
So I purchased some 15 to 20 different kinds of banana trees. So I wanted to supply them to the congregation members in the offshoots. So I found it rather very convenient. After 10 months, every day I had bananas in my kitchen garden. I put a ladder on my tree so that my children can climb on and they can. For all the decorations, we are using banana trees, no problem. When we have a guest, we used to put not plate, but a banana leaf. If you are placing a plate in front of an Indian, if he is a guest, it is rather insulting. So, you have to offer. So, from your kitchen garden, it is too easy for women to cut a leaf and place it. Very simple. And in banana tree, nothing is a waste. You can use banana leaf, banana flower, unripened bananas for dishes, and bananas you can eat. And then the spinal of the banana tree, that is very important for ulcer disease. You can use lot of things. So banana is not a waste. So I demonstrated putting that. And I spent only 5 rupees per month. But I used to get roughly 25 rupees to 50 rupees out of that small kitchen garden. And also for flowers, normally women are spending 25 paisa every evening. So I raised different kinds of roses in pots. So I had about 40 different kinds of roses. So I gave all my congregation members cuttings from that. So all they created. Then the women, they came and they told me how much they are earning out of that. So immediately I can see a growth in the congregational budget. No problem. So if you could demonstrate something, and also regarding the annual purchase. Some people are quite ignorant. They don't know. If you are making your annual purchase, you can gain lot in India. For example, if you need red pepper is very important for us. If you are sparing 5 rupees per month, if you are getting that annually, you have to store up for only 20 rupees per year. That means 5 into 12, 60, minus 20, 40 rupees you are losing. So that is the calculation. You have to explain everything. You have to explain. And in one instance, from the congregational money, I stored for all the congregation members red pepper. I distributed that. And we calculated some 800 rupees gain for all the total congregation. You can make it. That is not sin. Getting red pepper, is it biblical? I cannot answer that. But a pastor can also help that. And alerting to participate, that is also important. If you are doing everything, don't make them idling. Then once again we are going to Hindu philosophy, making them passive recipients. Don't worry, American congregation will give you subsidy. Oh, we will be happy just to receive. One time we have a presidential meeting, and one president, he came and gave a conventional lecture. He told the very same statement. I am not critical here, but he told this statement. When we are developing the mentality of Indian churches, he told, you pray, Americans will give. They have plenty. So we were, then I went to a lay training program, and people, you were telling us to do this and that and help, self-help projects and this and that. Oh, that president, he told us that everything is possible. Nothing is impossible with Americans. See, that is the statement. So we are rather very particular about that, alerting to participate. For example, I introduced myself in a Hindu village. About 300 families are there, only one Christian teacher. So I started a house church program, and immediately we got some members, but only Hindus. They are the regular members of the Bible study program. So they came in. I talked about Bhagavad Gita to them first. You should know your religion first to understand Christianity. So I talked to them on the basis of Bhagavad Gita, their religion. By helping them to understand their religion first, will turn them positively to Christianity. That is my way of doing certain things. So I talked to them. This is the way how your religion is teaching. Now come on. Gospel says like this.
If you could differentiate from your faith to this faith, then okay. I am not very particular about baptism, but I am confronting Christ to you first. I am not confronting baptism to you first, but I am confronting Christ to you first. I am not confronting Christianity to you. See, that is my emphasis. So, we had a nice group. Then the person who is in charge of that house church, he came forward. How could we build a church here? I am not very particular about church building. I would like to build a church here. So, you have to help. Find the possibilities. You have a small hill here. Why you not contact someone to get some stones and something? After 5 years I heard, they have a small church building. Without any foreign subsidy. It is possible. But how we are progressing and how we are encountering with the people, that is very important. Then last one, responsibility with accountability. When we are doing some kind of self-help project, even they are deserving. My point is, we have to allow some kind of stewardship with responsibility and accountability. You must bring your first yield to the church. You have to teach him. Because he doesn't know how to do. So we have to inform them. They should be well informed. So will you not please bring the first yield to the church so that your second member will be benefited. So that is the way we have to keep. So always accountability is very important. Whenever I used to have a lay training program, the last session is that. Now you are going. Are you taking responsibility with accountability? That is very important. Are you willing? So this is the way how, as Indian Lutheran Church or Indian Christian Church, we are facing this situation and how I am dealing with the starvation problems. If you have any questions, you can ask. Any questions?
I hear you talking about things that you have accomplished there. Is this very widespread among the Christian church in India, this type of self-help? Mm-hmm. Are other Christian pastors
yes.
Much the same thing?
Yes, but it may differ from state to state because I mentioned, we have different customs and manners and everything. So many are doing like that. But it is not so easy as I mentioned to you. When you involve, it needs a lot of sacrifice and risking also. It's a revolutionary change. When you talk this kind of project to the people, then, oh, what is this? We have a missionary who did everything. He brought thousands of dollars from America. He distributed all the cows free of charge. Here is a fellow, he is coming. What is your responsibility with accountability and what is this? See, that's the problem. My feeling is, always making revolution is not a dinner party. You have to risk out. Without Good Friday, there is no Easter. Without Advent, there is no Christmas. You have to risk out.
This is kind of a dumb question, but if the women are not educated or not encouraged to be educated, how come Madam Gandhi is head of government?
That's right. That's a good question. Because of Indira Gandhi's position in government doesn't mean that we are giving due respect to women. See, that is not the true picture. Because of Mahatma Gandhi and because of Jawaharlal Nehru, she is given. See, the traditional family tradition is there. Mahatma Gandhi, he was the father of the nation. So he got independence from the Britishers by 1947, okay? Then Pandit Jawaharlal Nehru, he was the first Prime Minister of India. He was Prime Minister for last 17 years, okay? Then comes a crucial issue. After Jawaharlal Nehru, one Shastri, he came as a Prime Minister and he was dead in Russia. He went to Russia and he came back as a dead person. So the crucial issue was who next? Then all the politicians, they think Mahatma Gandhi, Jawaharlal Nehru, why not Indira Gandhi? Because she was brought up in London and she was educated in London. So she had all kinds of Christian influence. They were not thinking of Christian influence as Christians we are thinking that. And what is that? Then she knows everything. All the international political leaders, she knows very well. She was the PA to Jawaharlal Nehru.
Isn't her son there? Part of the power?
That is just recently. I don't know about that. Within a year. When I left India, I never heard of Sanjeevi Gandhi. But he cannot, people won't give that. See, that is the point. She is given. So that is why she is in the power now. Not because they are giving. In their family, they are not giving. But that is a speciality. Special preference given to Nehru's family. There may be some political reasons, but I view like that.
Well, many of the women of the high class and the wealthy are educated, aren't they?
That's right.
Yeah.
You're correct. In Brahmin society, they are coming up. In Christian society, so also. We have almost all the girls and women, they are educated now.
Well, can the women that are educated, say among the Christians and so forth, can they find employment?
That's the problem. See, we are only when Christians are educated, we are only 2.6% out of the total population. So job opportunities are also only 2.6. That's the problem, unemployment. See, if you are a sutra by birth, you are eligible to obtain a job in the government. Okay, you are educated. And if you become a Christian, from the federal government point of view, you are educationally forward. So no job opportunity. Can you follow that?
Yes.
That's the problem. Wow. I am not a sutra by birth. For information, I am not a sutra by birth. But because I am a Christian pastor, I am a sutra. That's the problem.
Because of the Hindu beliefs, is it not difficult or are Hindu parents not reluctant to send the children to Christian Sunday school?
Yes, but our witnessing.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and
why
through the children you bring
that, no, not only that, not through the, this is not a tricky way.
No.
See, when you are in a, see, you are the salt, how you are dealing with your neighbor? If you are dealing with your neighbor properly, the children will come. If you command the children, they won't come. Because of your love and response and loving care, the parents may be delighted to send their children. So sending children to our Sunday school means a spontaneity. That we have to solicit. That is very, not very easy.
How do the men in the congregation react when you get up and tell their wives how to set up a budget which robs them of some of their authority within the household?
See, we must be very careful in presenting that also. I made that here very simple statement, but I used to prepare a lot of things ahead so that I am not to exclude, I am not talking to the women at the expense of men. You must be, this is very helpful for the family. If you talk to the women, then you must always use family. Family is very important. So in the Christian church, family is very important. So I would like to demonstrate how you could prepare a Christian family budget. Then no one will be insulted. So you have to be very careful in using the language. That's all.
I just wanted to comment on the emphasis that you give here in terms of involvement with people and a real sharing with people who have perhaps less. I think there's a tendency in the United States to leave out the ingredient that you have talked about, which is a true involvement and a sharing with people who have less. And we have made some of the same mistakes, you know, simply wanting to dole out money rather than really being truly involved with people who have less. So I just want to say I appreciate your relationship, because we have our own caste system and poor people here too are also down in the bottom, and we feel very reluctant, I think, at times to embrace them and to help them.
I personally feel See, my philosophy of outreach is like this. Contextualized, mission-oriented theology we must have. In whatever mission role we have, we must do that. We must have a context and it should be always mission-oriented. Whatever you do. Don't confront baptism, don't confront Christianity as a religion. Confront Christ, it will work. That's my personal philosophy.
I understand that the caste system has been outlawed.
Yes, yes. In papers, that's right.
Is that just utterly ignored?
See, can you eradicate a color? That's like that. Put me simple. I am brown. You cannot change it by law. I am brown. You are white. Caste is also like that. The problem with Christianity is, Christianity wanted to eradicate all the caste system. What happened when you would like to eradicate one caste? See, for example, here is Christian caste. Let me put this way. This is Muslim caste. Okay? When you are confronting Christianity here, what is happening? We are actually stealing a person out of this community and bringing him. This community is not in a position to accept him. So what we are doing here, we are creating another community. Till today, how that people are called, he is a Muslim convert. In India, you can go and immediately he is introduced to the congregation. Here we have a Muslim convert. What is that? No word Christian is there. Muslim convert. So we are having lot of few Muslim converts here. He is not well received by the Christian community. He is not received back into his own community. So we have another community. So Aryans, they created thousands of communities. Because of Christianity, we also developed 1,000 communities. So we have now 2,000. That's all. That is the problem.
Would you comment on Madam Gandhi's policies of repression and what we call the end of democracy in India? Is how do you feel about this? Is it what India needs, or is it a movement of tyranny?
See, there could be some political reasons for that. I don't know personally, but as a Christian member of India, as an Indian citizen, I favor Indira Gandhi very much because she is making some kind of revolution. Because in a country like India, when we have illiteracy and the backward economy, say the democracy as you think here in USA doesn't work. It won't work there. Even in congregations, we feel the same. So when we have Islamic oppression and also Hindu fanaticism, outside we have communism from China, and also suppression from Arab countries, India is not in a position to tackle its own problem. So the national emergency and her approaches in the political arena is fine. That's my understanding, because 80% of the people, they are benefited. How the church is responding to that, that is the problem now. If we are only critical on her, that won't help.
Do you see the imprisonment of the thousands of political adversaries and it's just part of the stage?
Pardon, I don't understand.
Well, here I think we're very disturbed by the reports of thousands of her political...
Once again, you are getting report only from that 5 or 15 percent. That 20 percent. All the presses and business, everything is owned by that 20%. They are giving you the report. Once again, it is the report of the 20% of the population, not the 80% of the population. It is not well represented. One day I was also listening to the TV program here. She was giving lecture, a political lecture in Chandigarh. And immediately she was talking in Hindi, and immediately it was commented by a, what is that, TV commentator? He's saying something quite contrary to that. She was lecturing in Hindi, she was not talking in English, but the translation was made in such a way to impress American people. That is not true. That's not true.
And everything must be understood in the context. That is very important. When you mean democracy, you are meaning different. When I mean democracy, I mean different. See, in my congregation, I was vehemently criticized by the missionaries that I am a dictator in my congregation. That was the criticism. There's no shortcut. You have to tell your people, if not, if you are not going to prepare this family planning budget, then you will be in debt. Am I a democrat? I am a dictator? No, I am helping the people. That is the only way. How missionaries are approaching that? We will bring money from America. Is it democracy? There comes the... So everything must be contextualized. When you are understanding democracy, it is quite different. As an Indian, I am viewing it democracy, it is quite different. The Chinese democracy is entirely different. They are also telling that that is not communism. We are, this is Chinese democracy. We don't accept that.
As far as help from the United States, and we have a lot of programs and we raise money and particularly concern for hunger, and that's an issue. I'm concerned how you, out of your opinion, see help from us. And what kind of help do you
see? See, I am interested
in help in quote.
That's right. I am interested in one-time help, or I can say that non-recurring helps. For example, if you are giving a person one cow, $100, for example, one cow you are giving, and what it was happening, giving a cow to a person and also giving grass, straw, everything, what all he needs. That I call recurring expenses, ongoing, for maintenance. We are not developing that. In my projects, I am giving only one-time help. He must take the responsibility. If he is not in a position, leave it. That the congregation should decide. Not the pastor, not the church council. The congregation, in the context, that is very important. If that fellow is given a cow, then the whole congregation in that community is responsible for that. Not the pastor, not the committee. If you go to the committee, rich fellow, he will get the cow. Not the poor. Because he has his own politics there.
So are you saying that still financial assistance is needed in the sense that to give you as a congregation, in the context you're talking, the ability to provide the cow?
That's right.
That's right. Help is
if possible.
And you need more of that kind.
That's
of
right. Practice. I am also not advocating that too much. Not too much. Because I am interested in kitchen garden, small projects, goat projects, small things. If you are making big, then they will demand certain things and it will be rather institutionalized. Once again, we are placing him into the bottle. We cannot pull him out of the bottle.
Well, what do you feel then about our sometimes panic? Our short-term panic to provide money for hunger in that sense, because we tend to give money and then walk away here in this country. We've done our job, or we've done our thing. What about that kind of outpouring that comes in briefly and then it's gone kind of thing?
I would like to know what is your object behind helping the poor. What is your objectives? I would like to know that also. Before answering,
you must say we better learn about what the issues are before we provide the money. Money alone isn't the issue, but how we need education ourselves.
My objectives are these. Five. To help them to help themselves, to educate as a mass, then to demonstrate, then alerting them to participate, then to endow them with responsibility, with accountability. These are my objectives.
I'm still dwelling on the sheep probably have the support of the 80% of the poor. Well, it's within the 20% that a lot of her quote political enemies are.
Yes, I can say so.
She
the Christian church is supporting. If not,
See, we are asking a different question. If she is not advocating national emergency now, what would happen to India? We are rather particular about communistic force. If you are not alerting the 80% of the population, immediately there is every possibility that communism may come into India, because already we have. See, now, once again, for communism, Christian church is responsible. In this state, we have 35% Christians. And this is the first state demonstrated communist government. They have communist government. 35% Christians. So that is the feeling. That is the feeling there in India. Christians are responsible for communism, because Hindu fanaticism, it won't allow. Islamic culture and its Islamic religion as such, it won't permit. Then what? Then which will permit? Then comes Christianity. So the Christian church, they demonstrated communist government there, the state government. So we are in an awkward situation there. So that is why we have to be very careful in our economical and social development. Now in all churches we have socio-economical development programs. That's why we are making that as a part of lay training program. And also when you are completing your SSLC, SSLC means 11th grade, which is rather free education in India, we are convening a SSLC seminar before they are getting into training school or college or any employment. We are conducting SSLC seminar in which what we are doing, we are bringing all the Christian government officers so that let the youngsters can talk back and forth with the officers to see the possibilities, so that they can also well informed of the facts. So that is what we are also doing. We are not very particular about verbal proclamation of the gospel as such in course. Only we are preaching. No, I don't believe in that. Our gospel must have incarnation on earth. When you say Christ came down to earth, our gospel must also came down, should go down deep into the hearts. Once again, without Good Friday, there is no Easter. We are talking too much of Easter now. We are not talking of Good Friday. So also we are celebrating Christmas without Advent. Advent is 4 weeks, Christmas is only one day. So also Easter is one day, Advent, Lent is 40 days. You have to suffer 40 days to see one Easter, one day.
Could you explain a little bit about your own development of this lay program? Did you leave a community, a congregation in India when you came to the United States?
Oh, that is a very personal question. I will try to answer that. I was a teacher in a Hindu mission school which was sponsored by Christian Mission. So I was a headmaster of that school. We had about 5 villages filled with criminals. So they are very fond of cutting the heads. See? So I was placed in the midst of that. All belong to it and same community. That was the my great concern for that community. And I was a teacher and I made all kinds of outreach programs. I was not a pastor. Then I was a layman. I was doing that. And the whole community people, they were impressed by the work. I was never very particular about the name Christ, but I was doing something which is really important for them. So let me make the story short. Now, the community leader of the whole criminals, he was my student. And now he is the king-like man there. If I enter into his house, he will immediately stand up, because I was his guru. In my language, guru means the respectable teacher. So also the pastor, the word pastor in English is translated into my language, guru. So in that sense, I am a guru here. I am not a Maharishi Yogi here, but I am a guru. So in that respect, if I enter into his house, immediately he will get up. The whole family, because he gets up, that means the whole family. If I enter into his house, you can see some hundreds of people standing there. Even if I am seated, they won't sit. See, that's the way. How after 17 or 18 years back, I am seeing that scene. After coming to States, he wrote to me personally that I would like to read the Bible. So I sent him English Bible. He was my first English student. So I sent him a Bible. See, it may take 25 years or 40 years. After that, I went to seminary. I was a pastor for 17 years in urban congregations, mostly filled with communists and all kinds of labor problems, filled with Hindus and Muslims. My audience were mostly Hindus rather than Christians. When I was a pastor, I introduced all kinds of lay training programs without any proper training. I found that personally, so I wanted to experiment. I started one house Sunday school program. I call that Sunday school in extension. Decentralized the house, the church Sunday school. So I wanted to close down the church Sunday school program. I initiated all the heads of the family to have a house Sunday school program. So what we did, when I received a call, the Sunday school strength was about 35 children, only Christian children. Then I demonstrated a program, I helped many members. I conducted Sunday school institute for all the heads of the family of the church. So I closed the church Sunday school, they went to the houses. So they created, when I left after 5 years, it was 1,000 in strength. In one particular house Sunday school, it was 130 Muslim children. 130 Muslim children, because of the initiation of one head of the family. So then the church felt that I must be the head of the lay training program of the entire church. So at present I am in charge of lay training program for 300 congregations. So I am teaching in the seminary for 5 days. For the weekends I am going to the congregations where people are living. I am not bringing the people to an isolated place, but I am involving in the place. I am contextualizing everything. So I am helping them. For your information, in some congregations they may like 10 consecutive Sundays. So I am conducting seminars from sunrise to sunset. See, they have to bring their lunch. That's all. No expense. They have to bring their own lunch. From sunrise to sunset, 10 Sundays, that means 10 full days. Very simple for them. If they are interested, two days, weekends, for 5, that means 10. I am covering the whole syllabus. My main concern is they have to study other religions first, before knowing Christianity. We should not bluff in front of other religions. Oh, you are worshipping stones. Oh, we are worshipping Christ. Then that fellow will, you are worshipping wood. We are worshipping stone. What is the difference? You should know certain thing. They are not worshipping stones. Their philosophy is entirely different. So you have to study Neo-Hinduism of Dr. Radhakrishnan. Through stone, we are worshipping Brahma. We are telling through cross, we are worshipping the person Christ. What is the difference? So you have to alert our people. What is the difference? So first you have to teach them Hinduism according to D.A. Sarma, then new Hinduism of Dr. Radhakrishnan, then they will understand. Now, what is Christianity? Then you have to explain everything. So it takes a lot of time. What is worship? What is Sunday school? How to involve with other people? What are the techniques of mass communication methods? What is the psychology behind communication? Everything you have to talk. So we are taking a lot of time to explain things. We are conducting women's society meetings, office bearers meetings, tailors meeting, farmers meeting, everything we are conducting. That's the way how we are approaching. At present I am doing both. I am teaching in the seminary as well, I am the director of lay training program. That's why I am here. Because I am interested in lay training program, seminary, they recommended that I should spend at least 8 weeks in Holden village. That's why I am here. Any questions?
For the bottle,
is not...
This is only illustration. You should not ask which make is the bottle.
No. See, like you listed some very, very clear reasons there, but it isn't part of the structure outside of India that also controls, that also makes a difference in how India eats as well as how we eat, or any country eats in our day. I realize it wasn't the emphasis of your lecture this morning, but I was wondering if you would comment on that, because it seems like to me that some of the countries that are trying to do something, that the atmosphere in which the context is so oppressive that they're having...
That's right. When you are sending the food grinds, that's why I told you, just to help themselves, to help themselves. That's very important. When you are sending, for example, if you are sending Swiss cheese, because of your keen interest to India, we are receiving only worms there, not cheese. One thing, because it takes long time. Number two, when the cheese is arrived there, people are not, they are not used to eat that. Because when I was a pastor, I was given a tin of cheese. Then I thought, what is this? I don't know. I am not used to that. I am a rice eater with spice, hot, spicy, hot dishes. And that is my way of eating. So I didn't know that. Then missionary told me, this is good for health. Okay, let me try. When I opened that, I found lot of worms there. Yeah. Then I thought, this is the way Americans are eating. Out of your interest you are sending, but what we are receiving is different.
I guess I wasn't thinking so much just of that kind of thing, but also of the prices that we charge.
That's why I am interested in this kind of program. For example, if you are sending one tin of cheese, it may cost about $10. For example, take it, $10. That means in Indian currency, 100 rupees. 100 rupees. If you are sending 5 tins of cheese to India without any shipment charges, I can get a cow for a family. They can live on that. Many families can be keeping on going. That's the problem. How we have to find that out? In some cases, giving food is actually needed. That we know, because of flood. You cannot tell him you have to raise a cow when he is swimming on the water. You see? We have to be very careful in doing certain things. This is, to some extent, I wanted to point out certain of my feelings so that you can share with me. That is my interest. This is not perfect, but I wanted. Sometimes this is the bottle is the handicap. Sometimes the administration is the problem. They are not getting deep into the problem. For example, if a person, he is starving and he is making his petition to the congregation committee, then immediately it will study and recommend to the subcommittee. Then subcommittee will study that to the circle committee. Then circle committee will study, then it will go to the district committee. Mm-hmm. Then it will go. Before then he will die. So break the bottle, find that out. If the cucumber is okay, eat it or let it grow.